Yes, right now at PMP Network is Amy Roloff. You all know her as one of the stars of Little People, Big World. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me, Mark.
It is a pleasure to meet you. I've been watching the show for years now. It's hard to believe that already three seasons are in the can and on DVD.
You know what? It is very hard to believe. It's very hard to believe that that's happening, and we're wrapping up our fifth, and we're going to end up with over 200 episodes. I would have never thought that. When we first began this long journey.
Why do you think that the show's caught on so much?
I think what probably attracted people in watching the show was something different. You know, there's never been anything like this, displaying a family with disabilities in such a normal, regular light. And I think what people saw as being so different really wasn't. We have a lot more similarities to everyone else. You know, we're parents, we've got kids, we argue, we have a great time. Some of the situations are, you know, so familiar to everyone else. So it's almost like maybe watching an extension of their family or something like that, but it's definitely maintained its interest.
I agree with you fully. I remember watching for the first time, and I guess it was a curiosity, but you and Matt and the kids have a lives just like us, and it's you know, once you get hooked on that, everybody else wants to see hey, how they doing, how's everything going, and especially, you know, we went through you know, job different you know, layoffs and starting new businesses and going from stay at home housewife to having a couple of jobs and raising four children. It's something, yeah, that many people you know, kind of identify with.
Yeah, I mean, people were able to see the different change and the different seasons that, you know, maybe typical families go through. And as you mentioned, you know, there were job changes. There were many opportunities that we've had. And, you know, I've taught. I've ran a soccer club. Matt's gone through different changes. The farm has really taken off in the sense of sustaining itself, you know. And I've had a wonderful opportunity, both of us, doing a lot of speaking engagements. And I started up my own charity foundation. I figure with the opportunities and the things that I've been given, you know, why not give a little bit back? Why not use, you know, the popularity to help other people?
Well, I think that you had to be applauded. And one of the things, I just want to read for out there, for folks who haven't seen the show, it's on TLC Discovery Network, and you have to watch it. It's a great show. And if you haven't seen it, you can always go to the store and grab the first season and get addicted yourself. But here's a quote from Amy. It says, "My goal is to encourage people with the why not instead of the I can't, especially those that have a disability and are facing their own challenges." That pretty much says everything about what you're doing with your foundation as well.
I absolutely agree. I mean, we can really get stuck in our own life in wanting to be like somebody else, wanting the things that other people have, always looking on the other side of, you know, the fence and everything. But I think we often forget, you know, you have a really a lot of good stuff happening in your life. Sometimes you might have to dig and find it a little bit more, but there are still good things happening in each of our lives. Obviously, some people face a whole lot more challenges, and it's very difficult to find that positive, to find that hope and to keep moving them forward. But, you know, with the charity foundation that I've been able to, you know, start, you know, I really want to reach out to, you know, those organizations that are doing great in their community, but they're smaller. Maybe they don't have the big opportunity to be successful in many of their fundraisers, but, you know, they're still plugging along. So I'm really there, you know, just to give a helping hand and, you know, give recognition to those organizations, bring in money so that I can give out to ones that are, you know, starting up and really supporting kids and families and disability groups.
Yeah, I want to talk about that, but before we get into specifics about the cruise and other things that are going on, tell us a little bit about everyday life, because we're watching, and, you know, for many of us who are not 4 feet tall, you know, driving a car, seeing over the counter of a bank, going to the grocery store is really pretty much, it's nothing. It's not notable at all. But it becomes a little bit more difficult when you're 4 feet tall. And the world is not made for 4 feet tall people.
No, they're not. And, you know, when you talk about an everyday life, when you have someone with a disability, especially, you know, with dwarfism, obviously, you know, there are days where it just suddenly you recognize, oh my gosh, you know, everyone's looking at me. How am I going to handle this as I approach a bank counter? Now, obviously, in our day and time, the American Disabilities Act and a lot of businesses are really doing pretty much a very good job at accommodating for a lot of disabilities. So you do have good accessibility accommodations, but there are those times like flying. You know, when we sit in on the seats on the airplane, you know, our legs dangle over the seats. Now talk about, you know, your feet falling asleep and being very uncomfortable, not being able to really prop yourself up and keep yourself on the takeoff and the landings in your seats is, you know, it's just one of those things you just deal with every day, and you just know that that's going to be an uncomfortable situation, but you face it anyway.
Are there any airlines? Are there any airlines that have actually put in things to help people who are smaller?
Not as of yet, because, you know, it is a confined area. One of the things that Matt and I have talked about is a fold-out, like, little step thing. You know, if you're sitting in first class, you know how they have those little footstool things that fall out, pull out. But something really simple at the bottom of the seat that could just pull out, just so that we have something to brace our feet. So, you know, circulation and things like that would be making the seat a little more comfortable.
But yeah, it would make more. It makes sense, and it also, for a safety standpoint, would be sensible. Even if they did it in a few seats and just had them available.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, like Matt's encountered, you know, situations where his crutches always had to be up above. Well, his crutches are quite small. They're not like an average size, obviously, crutches. But for him, it's like if anything were to happen on this plane, you have now suddenly taken away my way of mobility. Because if everyone's getting off the plane, he has a very difficult time walking, and that would be very, you know, hard for him to do. So he has often, you know, either talked to the captain or talked to the flight attendants. I can just put my crutches along the side of the airlines, alongside the wall there, or they fit very comfortably, you know, underneath the seats and things like that. But, you know, those are just, to us, very basic issues, and realizing that there's definitely a safety issue involved. But to us, it is so minor compared to taking away someone's potential of mobility if something were to happen.
How
everyday stuff. It's, you know, grocery stores, you know, it's always difficult, you know, reaching things or and you either get in the habit of either asking or, unfortunately, I've learned to be better at that, but unfortunately over the years, I've often passed by it because I've never seen anyone in the aisleway or, you know, so you just learn to adapt. It's part of your life. You know, I've been a dwarf all my life. It's not like this suddenly came, you know, at a certain point in time. So you just learn to adapt, and, you know, it's just part of life, and you just don't let that get you down. There's so much more to enjoy.
Let me ask you a question about the kids growing up. Were the kids at all teased at all about you and Matt, and how did things change for the whole family when you guys ended up on television?
I think early on they probably were teased a little bit. I mean, the kids really didn't come to us and say a whole lot. I think they noticed it a whole lot more when we were in a public venue, maybe such a grocery store, maybe when shopping and maybe going out and, you know, doing certain things. I think they recognized and faced it a little bit more. But the reaction that we got from our kids, they often looked at those guys and said, what is wrong with you? Because to them, we're mom and dad.
Right.
This is their normal. This is who we are, and this is, you know, they haven't had anything else. Oftentimes, I would always wonder, but did they always think or wish that we could do something more or something different, like some of their average-sized parents were doing for their friends? But, you know, they've never expressed that or anything. But I think they've handled it well. I mean, we've pretty much said, you know what? It's just a matter of they just do not know. And it's up to you, if you feel like it, to just let them know, yeah, that's my mom and dad. They're not going to grow any bigger. You know, that's just who they are, and this is who I am.
Yeah.
But I think they encounter it more in public than necessarily in a school. They went to a very small school, so it was very easy for everyone to get to know us and, you know, and once you do, it's like you don't even notice the disability. And I think sometimes that's with the show and everything else I do. It's, at first you're like, whoa. And then after a while you're like, oh, yeah, you're right. You are a dwarf.
You know, you're absolutely correct. And I think that that's why it's such a, it's a public service, you know, for people who, you know, I guess it's a, you know, people who look a little different than everybody else, or, you know, have different disabilities and different, you know, it's a, it's an inspiration to everybody, and it also is a lesson for people who think everybody should all look the same.
Well, it's definitely one of the reasons why we did the show. I mean, like I mentioned, there's never been an opportunity like this to just to show the normalcy of a family that faces disabilities and challenges. Like you had mentioned, we all face challenges at some point in our life. Sometimes, you know, you can see that difference and that disability. Other times you can't. And not only with dwarfism, but anyone, you know, as you mentioned, that looks different or has a disability, it's like, you know what, we're really people, and we're really wanting all the same or similar things, you know, in our lives and, you know, opportunities. And, you know, let's try and, you know, we all do it. I mean, even I do it. My kids do it. We all do it at some point. Oh, boy, that person, you know, that person looks a little different. And then we catch ourselves, okay, so what? And who, it would be a very boring world if we were all cookie-cutter shapes.
Hmm. Well, you've done so many things in your life from, you know, obviously going to college and stuff, but navigating, you know, all the children, the project-oriented husband, the family farm, and television speaking engagements, volunteer service, and you were even on the school board and stuff, and a coach and a teacher. Been a lot of things.
Yes, yes, I have. It kind of makes life interesting. I think being married to Matt, if you're not moving, then something's definitely wrong. But also, you know, just in my growing up, you know, if you've been given a lot, and even people with disabilities, it's still a good life. If you've been given a lot of opportunities and a lot of good things in your life, I mean, the next best thing is to give back. Because until you walk in someone else's shoes, there is always someone else who is dealing with a whole heck of a lot more than what you think you're dealing with. And I think all of those things that I've done at a point in my life, it's what I wanted to do. It's what I thought I should do. It's what someone needed me to do. I mean, my biggest and most favorable job it was being a mom. I was fortunate enough to have four great kids. You know, just like parents, we're good at one moment, you know, not so great at the next, but overall, you know, my four kids are great. And the other thing is, you know, starting up a charity foundation.
Right.
I mean, to think of little old me to be able to give back and inspire and encourage other people, I mean, I'm humbled by that fact alone. But to be able to reach out and really, you know, have people understand about others that need help and be able to give financial resources to those either people or organizations, I mean, it's definitely a thrill for me. I enjoy it. I have a great team, and we've got a lot of fun things coming up, and it's great. It's good.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that I know that when you started the Amy Roloff Charity Foundation, one of the first things you did was a dinner and golf tournament over at Pumpkin Ridge and the Roloff Farms in September last year. And I see that you're a golfer. Are you into golf?
You know what? I've been a part of the Dwarf Athletic Association of America for probably almost 25 years now. That was an organization that started up to give dwarfs an opportunity to play sports. Mm-hmm. That they may not have been able to play. So when I started up the foundation, my first big event was a golf dinner event, as you mentioned. The dinner was at my house. The golf was at Pumpkin Ridge. But here I am putting on a golf tournament, and I'm thinking, I don't even know the first thing about golf. I've never played golf. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, how do I do it? I know several other little people that play golf, but it's not like I can use a regular set of clubs. Some of the guys are able to use juniors or women clubs. But I was able to have mine custom made, and so that definitely helped.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, so I am out there playing golf, and in Oregon, you know, we have a lot of rain, and so I haven't been out on that course for the last several months, but I'm also continuing that again this year, putting on a golf and dinner event, and this year is at the Reserve, and it's in August. So I've got to get out there on that course and kind of, you know, not have my game so rusty and be able to hit that ball and drive it straight and putt and all that other good stuff. So I'm up for another challenge.
Well, talking about fun, the Amy Roloff Charitable Foundation, which is run by my guest, Amy Roloff, also Lisa Dixon, Gail Meyer, and Rob Jones on the executive board. Tell us a little bit about the upcoming cruise that's going on.
Well, you know, we had a wonderful opportunity with Royal Caribbean to put on this cruise. You know, Amy and Friends is what I'm calling it. So anyone who makes a reservation to go on the cruise, which is June 26th through July 3rd, part of that reservation, some of that, a percentage of it will go to the Amy Roloff Charity Foundation. So in a sense, it is a fundraising event. We have a great time. If you have never been on a cruise, it is fabulous. You know, these cruise ships do so much, entertainment, activities, socializing, protocols, everything. But we're also stopping by Labadee in Haiti. That is a port of call for Royal Caribbean. And obviously with the devastation that Haiti has had, I am focusing more on this cruise with a mission, a cruise with a purpose. And I'm asking, and we'll put a plan together, asking for everyone that goes on the cruise with me to bring certain items so that we can give to an organization that we're working with over there already to help support the kids that have, more kids than ever, that have been devastated by this horrible natural disaster, but also working with another company and giving blankets to each of the kids. Not like a stuffed animal, but similar. So that no matter where they go, they have something with them that they can touch that's soft, that's warm, whether they're, you know, in the situation they're in, whether they're in an orphanage or whether they get adopted. But anyway, that port of call, I really would rather have those with me go here and do a mission than necessarily enjoy the many wonderful things that you can do at Labadee. Because we'll have those opportunities on the other port of call, but really focus on, you know, being there and really helping out in a small way.
Yeah. And also, I just want to let people know that you can actually see Amy at Northwest Women's Show, March 6th in Seattle. And for information on that, you can go to nwwomenshow.com. And for any more information on the cruise, you can go to amyroloffcharityfoundation.org for all the information you need on what Amy's doing. Tell us a little bit about the kids. We've all seen them kind of grow up on the show a little bit. Any of them you think heading for showbiz?
I'll get to that in a minute if I could, Mark. I just wanted to emphasize, too, on the cruise that it is an interactive cruise. I mean, I will be giving a talk, a Q&A, socializing with those people that come with me, port of call. So it's going to be a really, really great time, but also with a purpose when we go to Haiti. In regards to the kids, you know what? I do not know. I think I've done a good job at keeping them grounded, keeping their life as normal as it can be when it's, you know, on television and cameras in your life all the time. But Jeremy definitely has, I think, a really good eye at photography. So he may eventually, you know, you may see him in some photography work, whether it be National Geographic or some of those action-orientated pictures of photography and nature and, you know, scenery and things like that. So he may do that. Zachary may still follow his love of soccer. Obviously, he will not be able to be a professional player, which he so dreams of, but he's great at team development, coaching, interacting with the youth and things of that perspective. And both of them will probably, you know, go ahead and get their general business degree.
Mm-hmm.
As for Molly, well, she is our number one A-plus student. And we're not quite sure where she is going to go or what she wants to do, but she has tentatively mentioned math. She may want to be a math teacher and a language teacher. She does quite well in both areas and would like to learn either Korean or Chinese or something along those lines, along with Spanish. And then my Jacob, well, my Jacob, you know, he is my, he's my adventurous boy. He's my boy that's still kind of wondering where he fits in. He's 13, but still wants to be 18. So We're both trying to keep him at 13. Keep him as a boy.
Yeah, well, that won't last long. I can tell you that much. Yeah. But, Amy, it's a pleasure talking to you. And, again, folks, the TV series is called Little People, Big World. It's on TLC. And it is available in the stores. Seasons 1 through 3 are now available at all your favorite stores, or you can buy them over at Amazon.com. And you don't sell them on your site. I thought that maybe Amy Roloff Charity Foundation would sell them. That would be a good fundraiser for you.
You know what? It would. It would. I'm not sure how or the availability that we're able to get in those DVDs. So that is something, at least for this year, that we're trying to work on. So who knows? It may show up either on my website or our main website where people can get other Roloff Farm kind of paraphernalia. But yeah.
Yeah, actually, the TLC.discovery.com site has fan sites on it in terms of you can buy Little People Big World T-shirts and get the DVDs mm-hmm. and things like that on there. But I think it would be better if you guys sold them to make some more money.
I think so, too, because we got some other fun things that we call Roloff Farm or Roloff or, you know, the Amy Roloff Charity Foundation and stuff. So, you know, you never know. It's always evolving, and you never know what will show up.
For those who live in Oregon or are going to be around there, tell us a little bit about the 34-acre farm that you have.
Well, you know, everyone thinks our farm is open 24/7, 365 days a year. Unfortunately, that is not the case. You know, we definitely have to have time to film the TV show and things like that. So people are able to come to the farm during our pumpkin season, which is during the month of October, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we probably have over, you know, 20,000 people that come to our farm during that month from all over the country.
Wow.
We're astounded. We're thrilled. And that is one of my favorite things is to really be able to interact and talk with the people, especially if they've seen the show.
Yeah.
It gives them a different perspective, a different glimpse. But we've got wagon rides. They're able to see, you know, some of the things that Matt has built over the years for the kids, for the family, which is the Western Town and the tree fort, and now the castle is done. So to me, it's a good family experience, and that's what our show's about. You know, that's what my charity foundation's about. It's about kids and families and just really being together and experiencing something that I don't think people have a chance to experience very much anymore, and that's just farm life. With a little fun to it.
Mm. And a farm that's actually making some money, which is good.
Yes.
Rather than losing.
We definitely are able to sustain the farm in keeping it going.
It's great because farms are they're disappearing rapidly and becoming development, so it's nice to keep them as farms.
Yeah, they really are, and I would have to say, especially for the small farm, you know, your hands are tied a lot into what you can do. And we've been really pushing forward on, you know, opening up, you know, those opportunities because people aren't going to travel, you know, hours, 2 hours, just go to a field and pick out a pumpkin. You do need to, you know, create an experience. And I think creating that experience will help other people to understand that we do need to keep the small farms around if that is what people want to do. Because as you mentioned, you know, a lot of places are getting overdeveloped and they miss that opportunity. They miss that experience. On just coming onto a farm.
And there's nothing more natural than a farm and the things that are grown on it, and it's a wonderful thing.
I agree, and they also support, you know, the you know, small farms do the farmer's market.
Exactly.
And those are wonderful things, you know, for, you know, people in the city and the urban life to really experience and appreciate.
Amy, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, and continued success for you and your family and the television show and the foundation.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on, Mark, especially mentioning my charity foundation and the cruise. It's going to be a fun time. I'm looking forward to people signing up and coming on board with me.
Well, we'll have this posted. It'll be all over the place on the Internet in the next few days.
Thank you so much, Mark. I appreciate your time.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
You too.